Hey, everybody. Welcome into the Sportscaster and her son, where sports bridges the gap between the generations. I'm your co-host, 12-time Emmy Award-winning sportscaster Peggy Kaczynski from ESPN Radio here in Chicago. I'm also the mom, the sportscaster, and I'm the baby boomer.
And I'm your other co-host, Jason Conander. I'm Generation Z. I am from Chicago. I'm going to be a senior here at the University of Texas at Austin. There, I'm involved with student television, was with Fox Sports in Los Angeles this past spring. Mom, it is so nice to be back. I'm so happy we are officially back.
I was just going to say that we're back, and I hope people understand a bit of a hiatus. College schedules get crazy. I went back to work at ESPN 1000 here in
Chicago. You're a pretty big deal over there, too.
And our schedules just were not clashing. Jason was in Los Angeles doing his internship with Fox Sports in LA. So he was a couple hours behind us. So we are back and better than ever. And we are celebrating Father's Day, because Jason, Father's Day is coming up, and you've heard me talk a lot about Grandpa Poppy. Okay. Yeah. My dad, Ed Kaczynski, your grandfather.
All right.
He's 88 years old. He raised 10 kids, sending all of them to Catholic grammar school and Catholic high school. Now this, while he worked three jobs, almost my entire life, sometimes it was four jobs. He was a shipping foreman at a factory by day. He worked in the school bowling alley. Yes, it is still there. My brother is running it. On the northwest side of Chicago, there is a four-lane bowling alley in the basement of the school. And my dad ran the bowling alley, super small, but it was for like the men's club, the women's club, the PTA, the athletic department, things like that, right? So he ran that on at night. He was a janitor at Elmwood Park High School on the weekends, and he served in the Air National Guard, I don't know, once a month, twice a month. I forget what it was now. So he worked very, very hard throughout his entire life. My favorite memories of my dad, Ed Kaczynski, was when I was playing grammar school basketball. I would be upstairs in the gym playing in games, and the bowling alley was directly below the gym. And my dad would walk up the stairs. He'd take a break from, you know, running the bowling alley, and he'd go up, and I could see him out of the corner of my eye standing in the doorway to the gym, because he only had a few minutes before he had to go back to work. And he would stand there and he would watch the games. I loved seeing him out of the corner of my eye at my games, because with 10 kids, it was really hard for him to get to any of our events because he was always working. The other memory that I have is we would go camping in Wisconsin to this small town in Wisconsin, which we still go to this day. All of my siblings still love going up to Wisconsin. It's really, he instilled in us this, you know, vacation was awesome. The other thing that my dad was known for was really, really bad dad jokes. still to this day, he still says after opening day of baseball, whether it's the Cubs or the Sox, he would say, "Oh, Peggy, I guess the Cubs aren't going to be selling beer this year." And I'm like, "Okay, all right, Dad, I'm waiting for it, waiting for it." And somebody who had not heard the joke before would say, "Wait, what do you mean? Why not?" And my dad would smile and he'd say, "Because they lost the opener." I told you, he had really bad dad jokes. He still does at 88. So Jason, in honor of Father's Day, what are your favorite memories and things about your dad?
Let me tell you a little bit about my dad, my namesake, Jason Conander Sr., absolute legend. I think that, you know, I love talking about the things that I get from my dad, because I think that they're a little less apparent than the things that I get from you. I get, you know, this from you, this love of sports, my appreciation for talking about sports in front of a camera. I get that from you. And I think I get a lot of my personality from you. I get my name from my dad, my looks from my dad. And honestly, I think I get my sense of humor from my dad. My friends at school have no idea. And this is, you know, shout out to my friends at school who are listening to this, because you'll know this. And the ones who aren't will not know this. A lot of the jokes and the slang that I bring to school actually come from my dad. And so, you know, it'll be a weekend and we'll be going out and I'll be like, "Hey, all right, boys, like, we're going to be getting in rare form tonight." And they're like, "Where'd you learn that term?" Of course I learned it from my dad. He's been using that since middle school. And so the amount of terms and sort of figures of speech and jokes that I get from my dad, people will never realize how many. I think that the guy's the funniest person on the planet, and he doesn't even try to be funny most of the time. My favorite memory of my dad, he went to every sporting event, always drove us, which was cool, and I always appreciated that. But the thing that I always love about dad is when we'll be on the couch in the living room and we'll be watching sports, and I'm watching a lot more intently than he is. He's always got his iPad out or he's doing something, because dad can never do one thing at once. He always has to be preoccupied with two or more things. And, you know, I have so many memories of watching the White Sox growing up where dad will just look up at a moment's notice and, let's say, Dion Vicieto strikes out, and he'll be like, "Oh, come on, Vicieto sucks this year." And it's like, no, dad, like, he's actually hitting 280 with 25 homers. Like, he's one of their better hitters. He just struck out that at bat. Or, you know, Tim Anderson will swing at a good slider. He swings and misses and more sliders than the average hitter, but he'll swing and miss at a good one. And dad will be like, "Oh, come on, he always misses that pitch." And it's always a joy. Even if he doesn't fully understand, you and I both know, and he'll be the first to say it. He tries. He tries to understand it, and he tries to, you know, hold together his thoughts. But sports, just, you know, he's focused on other pastures than sports. So you got to love it.
Okay, Jason, so let's just get right to it. Who's the biggest athlete right now in Chicago?
Man, let me think. Justin Fields?
Yeah, I think so. So let's celebrate Father's Day this year by talking to the father of QB1. It's Pablo Fields joining us now on the Sportscaster and Her Son podcast. Hello, Pablo. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, glad to be here. Hey to all the people in the Windy City.
Well, this is exciting for people to get to know the father of QB1. After the last couple of years, I know you like to keep a low profile, but this means a lot to us that you're joining us. We are celebrating Father's Day. So start out by just telling us, what's your relationship like with Justin? You as a father, do you consider yourself a friend as well, or do you really keep it strict, "I'm your father"?
Probably more father than friend. I was pretty hard on him growing up. I had a stepdad for a little while, but I really didn't have a father figure on a consistent basis in my life. So I was pretty hard on him. And being a policeman for 30 years, I just saw firsthand the culture, and especially with, you know, African American boys. So I was pretty hard on him, to say the least, and he'll tell you the same thing. Yeah.
Well, I have 7 brothers, 3 of who were Chicago policemen. One is still a Chicago policeman. I have a nephew who's a Chicago policeman. So I get that whole mind thinking, and typically they're pretty strict. So how often now do you guys talk, and how has that relationship changed now that he's an adult?
Well, we don't talk every day, but there's this app called Snapchat. I absolutely love it. I can text my kids and they won't text back for hours, but if I send a snap, they snap back right away. And it's a way of kind of peeking into their lives. Say with him, he may be on the tarmac, or he may be in the locker room, or just doing anything crazy. So we snap every day. We have we call it D1 family Snapchat that we all communicate on, the whole family, my wife, my daughters, and Justin. And Snapchat is really good.
Wow. Really good
app. You know, as someone from the Snapchat generation, I can definitely agree with that. Pablo, one thing I'm super curious about, you know better than all of us do, Justin, throughout his entire kind of amateur career, high school career, was super highly ranked, highly regarded. As a father, when do you kind of figure out, like, hey, I think my son's going to be pretty special? Do you figure it out before all the recruiting services, or, you know, do you see all the attention that he's getting and you're like, oh, you know, I think he's going to be pretty good?
I definitely didn't figure out before the recruiting services, because Justin didn't grow. He stayed a little boy when his peers became young men and they started getting hair under their arms, a little bit on their chin, and Justin was still a little boy. And I would kind of blame it on him, because he was like a freak at a young age. I mean, from 3 till 11, he was just, I mean, the best player on the field, whatever sport it was. And then he didn't grow. He stayed the same size, and he got almost portly. I mean, because he was short, and you know, his sister. I have a picture around that. Yeah, I thought I had it on one of these things where she almost caught him in height. And then between the 9th and 10th grade, he was still a good athlete, but he wasn't coming in first in the sprints anymore. He was like middle of the pack. Of course, when he was playing baseball, he couldn't hit the ball as hard because he hadn't hit puberty per se. But between the 9th and 10th grade, he grew 5 inches. And all that, I call it freakism, that was dormant, it just came roaring back. And then he was Justin of old again. So that's when the recruiting, he got his first offer on May 8th of 2016. I won't forget that date. You know, it was a happy day for me, from North Carolina. Coach named Heckendorf gave him an offer, and that was great. I think that was the spring of his sophomore year, because he had to throw before he had baseball practice, but the coach from North Carolina wanted to see him throw, so he just went out there and threw for him, and kind of started from there.
I want to talk a little bit more about the recruiting, because after the sophomore year, Justin became one of the highest recruited players in the country. Originally committed to Georgia, played his freshman year there, and then he transferred to Ohio State. So as a father, when you have all these guys, all these, you know, grown men from different schools that are trying to sway your son in one direction, give him this advice, how do you know, presumably as like the most important grown man figure in his life, how do you make sure that, you know, you're kind of guiding him correctly when there are all these different forces pulling him in different directions? That's what I'm super curious about.
Well, once they hit a certain, my daughter hit it the other day, it was like June 1st of their going into their junior year, so they can receive calls from coaches. I don't know if you guys probably don't know the date, but that was just 6 days ago, and my daughter could receive calls from coaches. They could call her. We didn't have to call them. So that was, I think she talked to maybe 30 coaches or over 30 coaches, something like that. So with Justin, my daughter doesn't want to let anybody down. So the difference between her and him, if he knew he wasn't going to the school, I mean, he wouldn't call the coach back. I mean, he wouldn't. He's just a man. I don't have time to talk to a coach. He just, but my girl is a little more courteous than Justin. So she call everybody back and talk to everybody, whether, you know, she knows she's going there or not. So if he knew he wasn't going there, I mean, he just wouldn't. I mean, you know, they would call him and give him an offer, but, you know, they say, hey, can we get on the phone this week? And he just wouldn't call or text back. you know, and they like to, you know, Georgia was so close, so he could drive to Georgia. He was driving, so he could drive down there and spend time. And, you know, that's where he wanted to go. And it's kind of a dream school, a dream here in, like, the school is high school to go to Georgia, because it's so hard to get in. So that was kind of like his dream school, but it was cool. It was cool. The whole recruiting process.
So Pablo, we had Justin's mother, Gina, on my radio show, Peggy and Dion on ESPN 1000, which is where people can also find this show on the ESPN Chicago app. And what we found out from Gina was that Justin got his vocal cords, his singing from her, that she is the singer. She passed that on to him. He grew up wanting to be on American Idol. So, Pablo, what did Justin get from you?
The athleticism. The athleticism. I mean, that's what he got from me. And he can't sing anymore. He said this when he had me crying. It was probably about 6 months ago. And I think he tried to sing. And I said, dang, man, you used to be able to sing. You sound terrible now. And he was like, yeah, they want me to use a deep voice when I'm calling out plays. Like, blue, 32, blue. And he said, I lost it. So it's just funny the way he said it. The reason why he can't sing anymore is because he has to yell from on the football field, yelling out plays or protection. So, yeah, he can't sing anymore. He makes a lot of noise around the house, but he can't sing anymore.
So he got his athleticism from you. You were a college football player. How was it easy for you to let him play football? Was there ever a doubt as a, because he was a baseball player? Did you not want him to play football? And how hands-on really were you with the game of football with him?
No, I didn't want him to play. A guy was trying to get, he was, I didn't realize that he was such a good athlete when he was a little boy. I mean, but I didn't know he used to just get on the top of the stairs and throw a ball up the stairs, and you got a ball bouncing down the stairs and he would catch it. I'm talking about like one, just throw it up the stairs. And I don't realize that's hand-eye coordination. I don't know. But a guy wanted him to play soccer, and I'm like, man, I don't like soccer. I don't even like soccer. So I wouldn't let him play at four, but I did let him play at five. And no, I didn't have any. That was really probably a little before doing all the CTE stuff came out. So I wasn't like scared to let him play football. And he played everything: football, baseball, and basketball. I mean, in the fall he could literally have each game in one weekend. He could have a basketball game, a football game, and fall baseball all in one weekend. And I loved it. It's what got me fat. You know, I used to be a really good athlete and really fit and trim and a gym rat. But once my kids start playing sports, I had to sell my Harley, and I didn't go to the gym anymore. So, I blame it on them is the reason why I'm fat now. So
listen, Pablo, I tell my kids I've earned every pound. I've earned every pound of it. So that's okay. I just want to ask you a quick follow-up on that. When I watch my daughter in gymnastics, half the time I'm covering my eyes.
That's what I was about to ask. Yeah.
Do you ever have to cover your eyes when you watch Justin on the football field, especially when the offensive line is struggling?
No, but I actually, nobody would believe this, but I hate the football games. I go to every one, but I'm like nervous. I look at my heart rate on my iPhone and it's through the roof, and I don't sit with any friends or family. He knows the Bears only give him two free tickets, and I take those. Those are, I think they're on about the 30 yard line behind the Bears bench. I take those. My wife and I sit there because I don't want to be around anybody. They watch a game from a different lens than I do. I don't want anybody to know who I am around me. I'm nervous. I mean, you got your kid out there on the battlefield at war, so to speak. So I'm a nervous wreck the whole time. No fun to be around. And it was different in high school. I missed those days, you know, where you could smell the hot dogs, the popcorn in the stand. I was a resource officer at his school, so if I needed to tell him something on the sidelines or he needed something, he would send a message to me. I think it was a clip on that little reality show where he was asking me advice, where he fumbled twice in the rain and didn't know what to do. But, I missed those days. I mean, he doesn't know if I'm there or not. Playing pro football or college. So I really miss those days, and I'm not very fun to be with at the game. Now, when it gets cold in Chicago, I've been able to go in the booth with the coach's wife. So that's great. They watch the game from the same lens that we do, so to speak, because it's pressure on them, it's pressure on us. It's not a whole lot of just drinking and having fun and enjoying a football game. We're watching a football game and we're nervous. So it's some chatter in there, but it's just I watched in another booth, one of his sponsors one time. They were like, let's take some pictures. And I'm like, dude. But the less of the two evil, I can't do the cold. I've been in Georgia like 34 years. The cold in Chicago at a football game would kill me.
I'm sure you're referencing that Bears-Eagles game from December at Soldier Field. It had to have been 5 degrees. Justin played great, but that game was absolutely miserable. Unfortunately, my mom took my follow-up question. But what I'm super curious about is, you know, you said that you're not so fun to be around at these games, and I understand it too. Heck, if my kid was a pro athlete, I'd probably be the same way. But do some of the things that Justin does on the field, do they surprise you? Like, are you just as jaw-dropped as we are at some of these long runs and great throws and sort of like superstar plays?
No, I've been seeing it a long time, and a lot of people – they ask me, like, man, how does it feel? And he's been a great athlete since he came out of the womb. And, I mean, he just been getting accolades. And, I mean, I was his coach for a couple years, but, you know, they start saying daddy ball. And I'm like, daddy ball? Then I'd show him the stats. I'm like, dude, your kid had 18 carries and he didn't get any touchdowns. My kid had 7 carries. I can't help it. He took it to the house 3 times. You know, so I would get a lot of flack because everybody wants their kid to be like yours. So I just left that alone. I stopped coaching them and didn't coach any of my kids, probably because of that, and just let them fend for themselves. And I'll never forget in Little League, and you're like, no, why did you cut in? And he's gone. So, you know, you're kind of yelling at him in mid, and I could never yell at him in Little League because he would begin to cry. And the other coaches would, they would go, you know, you're not a good coach if you, it's like Southwest Atlanta. It's a really hard league. If you're not like grabbing kids by the face mask and yelling at them, you're not a good coach for whatever reason. I didn't really, you know, yell that much, but if I ever got on him, he would just get so emotional about it where the other coaches would go get on him. But he's been doing this for so many years, but to do it on that level is surprising because everybody's fast. You know, even the linemen are, you know, to get away from, to run around a Joey Bosa is incredible because they're so fast, the D linemen, and you know, you have to just be a little bit faster than they are. So
everybody, you said it in your last answer, kind of everybody wants their kid to be the star. Everybody wants their kid to be the one. I want to hear what the most rewarding thing about being the father of a superstar athlete is.
Ooh.
The most rewarding thing. The free gear. He just signed a deal with Reebok. I get some free shirts and shoes. And it's a lot of stuff. His agency is Athletes First. They buy stuff for the athletes. So I'm always bumming, and they're like, ah, man, this is Justin's dad bumming again. But, you know, I don't – I'm on a policeman's retirement, so that my income is different. And he didn't make it to the, you know, the pros to support me or anything. Yeah, that's pretty rewarding, you know. So I guess the swag.
Is it hard for you? One thing you mentioned, Snapchat, and what you didn't have, what I didn't have when I was young and in college, and you know, was all the social media. Is it hard for you to follow what people say about your son on social media, or do you stay away from it?
Good question. You got to stay away from it. Now I'm back on Twitter because you have a rising junior who's in the recruiting thing, so I'll look at the headlines, but I never go in those rat holes. My wife will go in them, and she's getting better at not going into them, but you can't go into those rabbit holes. You got to stay out of them because I don't care if he throws for 600 yards, he's 29 of 30 and 6 touchdowns, it's going to be some negative on there. So you got to stay out of that. I mean, you know, you're a parent, you've been protecting your kids your whole life, and they're pretty nice in high school, but when they get to college, and especially the transfer from Georgia, they just they get so mean, and they say anything where they really have no idea what they're talking about. But you have to stay out of those rabbit holes as a parent because you're a protector, and you know, you've been doing that your whole life, so you got to stay out of those.
I want to give a shout out because I sit on the board of directors for Girls in the Game. I believe in girls playing sports, everything that comes out of it. It's the reason why I had such a great career in broadcasting. Let's give a shout out to the daughters because your daughters are athletes. And I saw, was it Jaden who just graduated? She was a softball player. And you just said you have another daughter who just entered the whole recruiting pool with the open contact period. So give a little shout out to the daughters as well. And tell us who the best athlete in the family really is.
Well, my daughters are great. They're boys. Do you have girls?
I have one daughter and two boys, yeah.
Okay. They are so much more responsible than boys. I mean, Justin is just 100% irresponsible boy. I mean, even as a grown man, I take care of a lot of his stuff for him. But girls, they just take care of their business. They're so, well, the little one, she's kind of got a dirty room. But yeah, Jaden is a softball player. She was at Georgia. And Jaden's kind of, you know, built like me. She's kind of stocky. And she wanted to do ballet or be a dancer when she was younger. And I'm like, Jaden, you built like me, babe. I don't think you're going to be a dancer. So I took her to a little local park, and she played rec ball. And she started at about 8 or 9, and she could just naturally kind of hit the ball. I guess she had quick hands, and it just kind of started. And she started playing travel ball. And well, let me back up. We took her to Georgia's UGA softball camp when she was younger, and it was overnight, and she was willing to go, and she didn't know how to really play softball. So, you know, girls won't go to camp if they don't have friends, but she went to camp. Then she loved it, and she went the next year and the next year. And when she was about in the seventh grade, they said, we think you might be a recruit one day. And I was like, yeah, right, whatever. I'm just, you guys want my $500 next year for the camp. So she went back in the eighth grade, and she would call home, and she said, the coaches, they watched me on every single drill. The head coach was like, every time I did a drill, it was kind of uncomfortable. They were right there watching me do this drill. And then we were at a tournament like 3 weeks later, and Tennessee, Georgia, Virginia, maybe Auburn were all at this tournament watching. And the Georgia coach, after she had an at-bat, he did like a 5-minute text. And, you know, I'm just in the backgrounds. I have on one of those big floppy hats. You can't talk to coaches at these tournaments. But he sent a text. And then after that text, I got a call from her hitting coach to call the Georgia coach. They were going to offer her a scholarship. I was like, wow, really? So, you know, softball players typically don't get full rides. Mm-hmm. So I was calling some people. They really didn't know the answer. Like, should I negotiate if they say half the tuition? Should I say, well, no, we want 75% or what? So we get on the phone at 6 o'clock on a Sunday, and she was eighth grade going to the ninth grade that summer. And they offer her a 5-year full ride. And there's like, we know you need to think about this. And I was like, man, I don't need to think about anything. It's a done deal, dude. Yeah. And they stayed with their commitment. She stayed with Georgia and went there and has graduated and is going to play her COVID year. And it's just been great. It really has. And that's Jade. Now I'll start with Jessica. Jessica is the one we didn't think would play sports. I mean, she couldn't run 10 feet without falling. She's like a baby giraffe. And when we were at the ballpark, she would just play in the playground, just as content, would not look at the ball game, wouldn't be concerned with any sports. But, you know, we kind of knew the sports game, so we put her in softball. Man, she couldn't hit the side of the barn with the ball. I mean, she just couldn't hit. I mean, she'd miss the ball by 18 inches every time. So we put her in basketball, and she was still a baby giraffe, would run up the court and just fall down. And then she started getting better and better every year. And now it's just unbelievable. She's going into her junior year. She has over 20 D1 offers. She was like player of the year in her classification last year, shot blocker of the year. And she works harder than anybody I've seen in my life. I mean, she has to work every day, or she does something. We have a court out in the back, and she goes out there and does drills if she's not going to a trainer 3 or 4 days a week. So I think she may be the best athlete, but I don't know. Justin's pretty freakish, though, and the other daughter. She's good at hitting a ball too. So I've been blessed, and it's my hobby. It's the way you meet your friends through traveling all over the country, watching your kids play. So, you know, just what a blessing as a father to do that, especially being that I like sports so much. So, you know, I used to lift weights and play ball even after my days of playing ball all the time until Little League came along. So it's a blessing.
So, Pablo, with Father's Day, we'd like to get some advice from fathers. Do you remember the last piece of advice that you gave your son, Justin Fields?
Yeah. We have a, we get together. I told you we get together on Snapchat. Also, we get together on a family prayer call every Wednesday morning before he goes to work, before the girls go to school or class. So we all get on FaceTime and we do a little prayer call. Everybody's busy, so it doesn't take a long time, but it was basically don't follow a path, make your own trail. Don't follow the path, make your own trail. So do things differently than everybody else. Be different. So, he's pretty good at that. And, just doing his own thing and been very, he got in all of his trouble in the house. Thank God. And I'm knock on wood. I mean, I couldn't stand the kid from about 13 to 15. He's been great. He knows how important the family name is to us and leaving a legacy and, even the promise he made me by graduating from college. I mean, most kids wouldn't have, done that, just taking classes and, it was a pain, but hey, nobody can ever take that away. Get your degree. That's what we did all this for, was free college. Yeah. I never, ever dreamed of, really playing pro football, just free college. We'd have loved to go to Mercer on a scholarship, but they never offered. So it's a little school here, when he was the MVP at the quarterback camp in the eighth grade, and it was pretty heartbroken, and they didn't offer him or anything. So, yeah.
We really appreciate you taking this time. And okay. This is a big season for your son, and there could be a contract extension in his future. And I'm guessing that if that happens, your Father's Day gift will be a nice big winter coat because he'll be in Chicago for a few years longer.
Yeah. I can keep the torso warm. It's the hands, the feet. And I just don't know how you guys do it.
There's warmers. You got to put the hand warmers for your feet and your gloves.
Yeah, it's cold there, man. It's cold. So I'll try, but it's awfully cold there. Yeah, tell them to buy me a coat.
Happy Father's Day to you and your family. By all accounts, you've done an amazing job, and we can't thank you enough for taking the time to join us on the podcast.
I appreciate it. You guys take care. You've done a good job with your son, too. He's an articulate young man, and he seems like a rock star in the business, so he'll go far.
Thank you very much.
Our thanks to Pablo Fields for joining us. And when I say that I stalked him for the last couple of years, I sort of did. Hey,
we can't give away.
Yeah, I'm not going to say how. Yes. I'm not going to say how. But I knew that he would be a fun interview, and I really do appreciate the fact that he granted us the trust to do the interview and to have him on the podcast. So our thanks to Pablo Fields.
Great timeless too.
Yeah. Jason, hey, I don't have final thoughts because it's Father's Day. It's not about me. It's about all the men out there who are dads. Why don't we let you do your predictions?
Yeah, let's do predictions. I got three ones. They're pretty rapid fire, pretty quick, especially because my Mac seems to be dying here. Okay, anyway, we have three quick predictions. I'm going to say that both of the Chicago baseball teams are going to be buyers at the deadline. The Cubs sort of falling behind a little bit, in the long kind of break that we had in between shows, I think I said the Cubs would be sellers. I actually think they're going to be buyers. They have some pretty good pieces. The NL Central stinks, and so does the AL Central. The White Sox don't have as much of a choice as the Cubs. They kind of got to stretch out the window. So I think that they're both going to be buyers. Will it work? Probably not. But, at least we'll see the attempt at winning baseball in Chicago this summer. It'll be more fun than past summers. Prediction number two, Stanley Cup Finals. The Vegas Golden Knights are up 2-0. Luckily, now we get our shows up a little quicker, I can actually, predict a series while it's going on. I'm going to say Florida comes back and wins that series. Vegas has dominated the first two games, but the Cinderella run of all Cinderella runs, the Florida Panthers beating the big Boston Bruins, best team in the history of the NHL. They run the table. They make it to the Stanley Cup Finals. I don't think that it's going to stop here. They're down 2-0, whatever. They'll come back and win. As for the NBA Finals, my final prediction, where things stand right now, Denver leads 2-1. I think that Denver's going to win the next two games of the series and win in five. Might not be that bold of a prediction, but, you know, I feel like every prediction I make on the show is a pretty bold one, and I'll take my gimme predictions when I can get them. So Nuggets in five, Panthers in six, Cubs and Sox sellers. There are your three predictions for today.
I love it. Well, our thanks to Jake Cantu, who is our producer at ESPN Chicago, where you find the audio version of this podcast. It can be found on the ESPN Chicago app, and the rest of it is on Apple Podcasts. You can watch us also on YouTube. And Jason, what do we want people to do?
We want people to follow our Twitter at TSAHSPod. I will be tweeting a lot more on there starting today with our show back up and running. So excited about it, as you can tell with a big smile on my face. We also want people to like, rate, and subscribe. Anywhere that you can get your podcast, you can find our show. My preferred app is the ESPN 1000 app, but might not be your preferred app. Guarantee that you can like, rate, and subscribe whatever app you listen to our show, wherever it is. I promise it helps us. So please keep that in mind when you're listening to us.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Have a wonderful Father's Day to all you dads out there. And we will be back soon with another episode of The Sportscaster and Her Son.